Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, Manny.
Okay, tell me a little bit about our next guest that we're going to be talking.
Okay, well, welcome everyone to another episode of Building Joy, where we love to talk about having, what are those steps that we can take to live our happiest life? So today we have a gentleman named Mark Sanchez. And I kind of spoke to Mark offline. He has an interesting story, how he's moving closer into his happiness. And so I'm going to bring him on and I'm going to let him talk a little bit more about
it. I don't know anything about it. All right. No. Let's see. Let's find out.
Okay. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, what up? What up?
How's it going?
going great.
Where are you in the world?
I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay. So you got no snow going on right now.
No snow at all. We don't have no snow ever for us.
You're so lucky.
But it's not even rush hour there yet, is it? No, you guys are 2 hours back. What are you on, mountain? You're on mountain time.
Yeah. It's about 2 o'clock right now. So it's rush hour in Phoenix area, like a little closer to the city. I'm on the outskirts of the city, so I'm fortunate I take the 303, so I get to go all the way around that bullshit.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Mark.
I'm smart. I dodge all that shit.
Thanks, Mark, for taking the time and getting on the show with us.
Yes, thank you for having me. You know what I mean? I'm glad it worked out the way it did. You know what I mean? Synchronicities are amazing.
Yes. Awesome.
Now, Mark, as I mentioned to you, our show is about, you know, sharing a little bit maybe about the backstory of where you may have been before, some of the like hardships and challenges that you've overcome and all led you to, you know, the place that you are today and, you know, what changes you might have implemented in helping you to be happier in your present life. So if you want to share with us a little bit about what that backstory might be.
Ooh, how far back do you want to go? Because let me tell you, it's been stages. It's been mother loving stages, you know?
It's up to you. Probably focusing on maybe like the turning point stuff, yes. Right? The stuff that like led you to taking a step back and deciding that, you know, I've got to make a change and I just can't be, I can't live the way that I'm living anymore.
I think one of the first major changes that I had was in I sell drugs a lot. I grew up in an environment where drugs and gangs were the only thing to do, right? You're in a little town, is gang infested, and drug infested. Your parents are pharmacists. And so for anybody that doesn't know, that just means their fancy way of saying that they're drug dealers. So I learned from them. And that's what I did a lot of my life is I thought to myself, hey, this is the way to go. But inside I was like dying. You know what I mean? Because it was scary. Like looking over your shoulder all the time and not knowing who's going to rob you or if you're going to get caught by the cops, that shit takes a toll on you. And you act like you're tough. You know what I mean? Like I thought I was tough. I pretend I was tough. But every day I was just riddled with anxiety. And then so one day I just said, I need to stop this shit. And I did. And it was tough because I went from having a lot of money, right, to shit, what am I going to do now with this normal job? You know, and I was in the hospitality industry. So I waited table. I was managing a restaurant at the time. So I decided to stop selling drugs. And I was just getting my ass handed to me with hours upon hours upon hours of just being stressed out, having to pick up a lot of work, working 60 hours a week, and the pay just wasn't good. And I thought to myself, this sucks. Like, oh my gosh, it almost made me want to go back to dealing drugs. But I thought to myself, no, stay forward, stay straight. Your mom already went to prison. Your dad almost went to prison. He missed your graduation. You don't want to be a statistic, you know? And so I decided to set a boundary and say, you know what? I'm not going to manage. I'm just going to go to waiting tables because my brothers, they were working for me at the time and they were bringing home a lot of money. And I thought to myself, why am I banging my head against the wall when they're working half the amount of time and making more money than me? You know what I mean? But I was scared because I felt like I should have been privileged to have this position. You know what I mean? I was young, 21, 22, 23, making, I don't know, at that time, I think $35,000 a year. And in my life, I've never seen anything like that getting paid on paper. You know what I mean? This was all just money rolling in on the side. And so I thought I should make my family proud and hold this prestigious title of being a manager. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bullshit.
So then I just quit and I started waiting tables. And I loved it, man, because I was making a lot of money. It was coming in. And then before you know it, 10 years goes by. And it took a toll on me. I don't know if anybody's been in the hospitality industry, but there's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of alcohol. There's a lot of women. And one day I looked in the mirror and I was 180 pounds, pre-diabetic, broke as hell, living at my aunt's house. Like, how the hell did I end back at my aunt's house? I'm like 33 years old. Where did time go? You know? And so I was stressed out, tired, and over this bullshit. I couldn't even recognize myself in the mirror. And I said, I need to make a change. And you're not going to believe what saved my life. Can anybody guess?
What's the?
Network marketing saved my life. Multi-level marketing business pulled me into the personal development scene. And I got my hands on a book called The Slight Edge. And I read this book and it told me that simple daily disciplines could get me out of the hole that I dug for myself. That was the first time anybody had ever explained to me that the circumstances that I was in were the culmination of the decisions I chose to make throughout the entirety of my life.
Yep.
What was the name of the book again?
Slight Edge.
The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. So, and it was crazy because people were like, stay away from multi-level marketing. It's dangerous. They're cults. Well, that might be true, but let me tell you, it introduced me to this particular personal development era of my life. And of course I joined because there was a woman that I wanted to get closer to, you know what I mean? So I was like, why not?
And so when you became aware of the fact that with every single choice, we are creating the life that we're living, that we were, you know, talking on another show, that if we just choose our joy, that when we have two choices that we're presented with, that we lean towards the one that we feel a little happier about, a little more excited about, a little more enthusiastic about. And if we keep making those same choices all day long, that our day ends up being a little bit happier. And then the next day we repeat the same thing, that every single time we have a choice, we choose the one that feels a little bit better, that we are creating a happier life moment by moment. So when you discovered that you were creating the life, that it wasn't happening outside of you to you, but was actually happening through you, what did you do with that?
So I started with my health first, you know what I mean? Because I was overweight. I looked in the mirror. I was a size 36 pants, and I'm originally a 32. And so at the moment I felt I was broke and I was broken. And so I thought to myself, what's one thing that I could change every single day? If I'm not liking how I feel right now and all I choose to do is nothing, go to the bar, have some beers. What if I just stopped going to the bar? You know what I mean? What if I just stopped spending my money on alcohol and actually went outside and walked around the block instead? And so every day for like a month or two, I just went outside and walked around the block, you know,
One day at a time.
And before you know it, because I had these things, because I was overweight, I was pre-diabetic, I had these things growing on my feet and they hurt. So I couldn't really run. And not to mention, like, I was losing my breath just walking to the refrigerator. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then after a couple months goes by, I started to jog. And then after 2 months of jogging went by, then I was actually playing basketball again. Then I was in the gym lifting weights and building muscle, you know? And so that's how that happened. And so when I started feeling better, I started responding better at work. I stopped and listened when people would like say things to me. You know, I took everything personally. I used to take things personally a lot. Mm-hmm. That's another book that helped me with the Four Agreements. Talk to me. Don't take things personally, because it's not. And so when I started feeling better inside about my body and just getting enough sleep and not having so much alcohol, when people would say things to me, I no longer took it personally, and I was in a better mood so I could sit and not react and respond. Mm-hmm. And simple things like that, every single day, I had to be conscious about it, because it took a lot of work. And don't get me wrong, I snap every now and then. Still to this day, I have to remind myself, Mark, are you taking this personally and why? And everything just started to unfold better. You know what I mean? The same environment that I was in, because that's what I do. I help people turn toxic environments to training fields for personal transformation. And just like one bad apple could ruin the bunch of apples, maybe one good apple can raise the vibration of the environment. And I slowly but surely did that.
Hmm. Now, did you have to create any healthy boundaries in this process? Because if, for example, as you said, you chose not to go to the bar, but your buddies then call you and say, hey, like, we haven't seen you in a while. Why aren't you coming to the bar? And then we have, like, you know, some of those people in our circles that, you know, as we're trying to make positive changes, they tend to maybe bring us back down. And to say that you had like people in your like immediate family that were doing things that you technically wanted to try to get out of. Did you have to do anything around the boundaries or let go of particular relationships, like anything like that?
Definitely. And it's tough. When you start making changes, right, these motherfuckers don't. Oh, my bad. I cuss a lot, man. It's fucking
no,
up.
Don't worry. There's no bad. You can cuss on this. It's all good.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? A lot of people would say, because I tried to make changes before, you know, and then you fall off. And so my friends, my so-called friends, right, like, oh, you think you're better than us. Oh, you think you're going to change. You're just going to be right back here. You're just going to be right back here next month, 2 months. And I would kind of believe it. And I would think to myself, like, before I set the boundaries, I would go out and be like, I could be strong enough. I could do this. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But the whole time you're there, they're just bombarding you. Like, here, have a drink. Oh, you're just going to sit there. You think you're better than us. You ain't better than us. Quit being a pussy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
did you have anybody, Mark? Sorry. Did you have anybody that was being supportive?
Not at first. No, not at all. You know what I mean? This is one of those things where people, they think you're cuckoo. You know what I mean? They think that you're going to break off. And then, like I said, they always say that. People will just bag on you because they feel bad about themselves. And I didn't understand that at first. But once I started to realize, like, these crabs are trying to pull me down to their level. Now, I can listen to them and or I can do what I did for my health, right? And set the healthy boundaries with people. And that was tough because then I was at home bored by myself because all my friends were out at the bars drinking and I would say no, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden I wasn't doing the things I was doing anymore. So then all the women went away too. You know what I mean? I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm sitting here. I feel better about myself. I look better in the mirror, but now I got nobody around me. And then that's when I learned that, well, you're a culmination of the five closest people next to you, right?
Yep.
And so when I heard that, I started seeking out better friends. Mm-hmm. I started seeking out other people that had similar ideas and that were bettering themselves. And still to this day, I got friends and family that will still be like, wow, Mark, you've changed. And I'm like, wow, you haven't.
Any other changes, Mark, that led you to also where you are today?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I like that you brought up boundaries, right? And so in my prior job, I was a manager. I've been in the hospitality industry, so I paid a lot of positions. And part of the time that I felt like I was getting taken advantage of, right? And I was working myself to the core, to the bone, and I was working 6 days a week, but I was still kind of broke. But as I started getting better, I had to learn to set boundaries. And I was like, okay, now that I'm feeling better, now that I'm looking better, now that I'm making better tips, how can I cut? I felt like my job was taking advantage of me, right? I created this story that, oh my gosh, they don't ever give me time off. They just keep scheduling me all these hours, but I never once spoke up. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that they were very similar to the way I used to run in the other company. But when I finally decided to say, hey, check this out, I want to cut my hours down because I feel like I'm working way too much. The owner was like, okay, cool. How many days do you want to work? And I was like, what? It was that easy? Like, all I had to do was speak up. And boom, just like that. That's another thing that I changed, is I stopped working so hard and I started working smarter. And when I was able to do that, it freed up so much more time for me to actually do the things that I actually love. I love making music. I write hip hop and R&B. And so I got to spend more time doing that. I started creating my own business because people asked me, hey, how did you lose the weight? And I would just tell them and start showing them, right? But once they left my positioning, they would go right back to the position. Remember I told you I got into network marketing. Yeah. And so I made a lot of money with Isagenix, and I helped a lot of people lose a lot of weight. But I started realizing that once they left my presence and I was no longer with them, they would go right back to the old habits. And so I had to figure out, how do I keep them to make changing habits? How did I do this? And so that's where coaching stepped into my realm.
Mm-hmm. And that is really the key, is when we, because, you know, January, everybody comes up with their like New Year's resolutions, and we know by February 2nd, most people have fallen off. So how do we stay committed to like some of the changes, you know, and all, but if we could at least stay committed to some of the changes that we want to make for ourselves so that we don't fall off. So you've talked about some of those things, but when you said, you know, you kind of transitioned more into coaching because you realized that people weren't creating long lasting habits so that they don't end up going back to the way they were before. What are some like strategies to do that?
Oh, for me, I had to get very clear on what it was that I wanted in the future. You know, I had to get very clear on what that looked like, and not just what it looked like, but what it also felt like. And so with that being said, that allowed me to understand why I was showing up to my job, right? I was blaming everybody. Shitty workers, shitty owners, shitty tippers. Like, you shitty tippers are tipping me shitty, right? Well, when I decided to realize that it wasn't my outside world that was creating the problems, it was my inner world reflecting back to me from my outside world, right? So people were just responding to my ugliness inside. And so when I got very clear on what I wanted to happen, it made going to work easier, because now when I was at work, I understood why I'm doing this. And when I went from working for the money to working for creating experiences that were memorable, people started responding different to me.
Wow.
And so, but that started with having a clear vision of why I'm doing this shit.
Which was just like in the hospitality, just to give people a positive experience while they were.
Yes. Yes. So in the hospitality industry, there's a lot of people that come. I'm like a therapist in a sense, because people come and just dump all their bullshit on you. So I'm glad that we talked about boundaries, because I didn't realize how much energy and how much stuff I was taking on because of my coworkers and because of my guest.
What was the reoccurring bullshit that a lot of coworkers were dropping on you? What was the constant?
I hate this fucking job. I got to get up. I don't got enough money.
The job was a dead end for them?
The job was a dead end. You know what I mean? It was a big...
But it wasn't a dead end to you, though.
No, not anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because at first it was. I used to think to myself, I used to be ashamed to tell people I was a server.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially when I had a lot of friends that went to college, right? And they got the degrees, and they're doing all this stuff. They bought the house and they got the cars, but they also weren't happy either. And when I started realizing that they were feeling just as shitty as me, I was like, okay, maybe it wasn't the degrees. It's not the money. And it's not the job. You see what I'm saying? Because you could go somewhere else and complain. And it's everywhere. So I realized, like, holy shit, this is what I sound like. When I started becoming more aware, I started realizing, like, oh my gosh, all these people are having the same issues and they're in different industries. You know what I mean? Like, my coworker is complaining about the same shit that this mom with three kids is complaining about over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
This couple over here is complaining about the same shit that the owner is complaining about. You know what I mean? So the common theme was, life sucks for me. I can't wait till I could retire. I'm like, what? No, we're living right now. What do you mean, wait till you retire? That's in 65. I'm only 30 right now. I got 30 more years of this bullshit. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. I got to make a change.
And so you realize that it has nothing to do with the external and everything to do with the internal.
Very much so. Now, that's a big pill to swallow when you tell somebody, like, hey, your life's fucked up because of you and the inside. It's not the outside world.
Nobody wants to hear that.
No, especially me. You know what I mean? And that's why I did an experiment when I first started to do this. I thought to myself, like, what do I have to lose? If I try this bullshit out that I'm reading in this book, what do I have to lose? I already feel like shit. The worst thing that can happen is shit stays the same.
Yeah.
The best case scenario, fucking things change. Well, let me tell you, people, everything mother loving changed. Here we are having this conversation. I never thought in a million years that I'd be on a podcast talking about this stuff, but it works.
And so boundaries is one of the things that I've heard. So have you worked on the self-worth part at all? We had another guest on the show that was talking about self-esteem and self-love really being like a missing piece.
Ooh.
And so I'm just wondering if you had to work through any of that in this process.
Big time. That's a big one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you didn't realize how much self-worth plays. That's why I worked so hard in my life. That's why I thought you had to work hard and play hard and you had to prove yourself in these industries. And that's why I ran myself to the ground and took up every shift. You know what I mean? I never said no because I thought, well, I have to be the to-go person. I have to be the one that saves everybody. And if I say no, then I prided my worth was tied to how hard I worked.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So me too.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me.
Yes. And it also tied into how much I could do for other people.
Yeah.
You know? And so I was giving away all my energy and being all this for everybody because that's where my self-worth was tied to. If I do this for them, they're going to love me and they're going to accept me and they always want to be around me. If I do everything I can for my bosses, I'm going to be the top dog. Right.
Yeah.
And it worked that way for a long time. And I realized, like, holy shit, why do I really feel this way? What is it that I'm really looking for? And once again, self-worth played a big part in my romantic relationships. You know what I mean? And it really fucked me up when I looked in the mirror one day and was like, why am I running myself to the ground for all this stuff? Like, why do I feel like why do I not feel worthy enough unless I'm doing something for somebody? You know what I mean? Why is everything so transactional?
Yes, which we talked on the show about.
That comes up a lot, Mark. That's the thing.
Yeah, and so that's something that I'm still working on right now, especially when it comes to romantic, is the self-worth. That's the reason why when I first started my coaching business, I didn't feel worthy of charging people. And I did it for free for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody actually paid me one day. They said, you know what, Mark, you're creating so much value. I want to pay you this money right here. And I was like, no, I can't accept that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I thought it's because, you know, God gave me these gifts to help people. I should be able to do it for free. That's another bullshit thing you hear. Like, if you got these gifts, you should just do it for free. Why you charge? Well, because I'm worth it and I'm helping you create change. Yep. And so it took me a while to get to the point to where I'm at right now, where I feel comfortable saying, hey, check this out. I can take you from point A to point B, and this is how much it's going to cost.
Now, Mark, did you also have to let go of any demons? Any because of like some trauma and some of the negative experiences that you had growing up because of your environment, your parents, you know, things like that, that you also had to learn how to let go and forgive and move past?
Forgiveness has been a big thing. You know what I mean? Now, when we say let go of demons, I'm a shadow integration coach, right? I'm a shadow fuckery coach. And so I don't really believe in letting go of things. I believe in integrating things. You see, because there's parts of us that will, like me, I got an alter ego. His name is Darko. And he's one of these mother lovers where he don't give a fuck. He'll say what he wants to say. How he says that if it hurts your feeling, that's not his fault. I'm responsible for what I say. I'm not responsible for how you take it, right? But that's not always good. Right. I learned that from my family because my family growing up are very sarcastic. And my dad growing up, he was never really there. He was always married to the streets. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I blamed him for a lot of things. And then my mom went to prison and she abandoned me. So I held grudges against them because they abandoned me in this world and they taught me some of these horrible things. And my life was fucked up because of them, especially my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to realize that, wait a minute, my dad was actually doing the best that he could
mm-hmm.
to take care of me. So when he sent me away to Arizona when I was 15, to me, he was getting rid of me because he couldn't handle me, right? But when I did the work, I realized that he let me go because he was making a better choice for my well-being. But I didn't see it that way.
Yeah. You see it now?
And if he did it. Yeah, I see it now because I had to go back and start forgiving and start healing that abandonment issues, right? That trauma. I couldn't see that. Wow. He understood that he couldn't provide me with what I needed. And if I stayed in this area, because I got kicked out of school for having guns at school, right? And if I continued down this path in this particular area, my life could have been way worse. But I didn't see it that way. I saw that he didn't want me, and he was willing to give me to somebody else because my mom was in prison and he couldn't deal with me. But looking back now, I'm like, wow, that's something I couldn't have understood until I matured a little bit.
Yeah. And those are the narratives, right, that we tell ourselves that keep us stuck and keep us as victims and keeps us small in our life, because we hold on to these stories that at the time as children with limited understanding of the world and what's the way, we hold on to things like that. But then as we get older and we know more, we have the ability to rewrite the stories so that we can let go of some of the things that have been, you know, keeping us upset or and limited just oftentimes.
Yes, big time. You know what I mean? And thinking my dad, you know what I mean, was who he was. And I let him have so much control over me for so long. And he would go to sleep not even thinking that he was doing anything wrong, because to him, it wasn't wrong. He was doing everything he thought was right, you know? And I held him accountable so long, not realizing that, man, me hating him was like drinking poison and expecting him to die.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was just hurting me. And I never explained and expressed this to him. You see what I'm saying? And so when we were finally able to have these conversations, he was like, wow, I never knew you felt that way. And then I started to understand why he made the decisions that he made.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, all I had to do was communicate this over to him instead of lash out. Wow. I could have saved myself 15, 20 years of like resentment.
Yes.
Mark, can I ask you what your relationship is like with your parents now?
Oh, with my mom, it's amazing. It's always been amazing, man. My mom has my back no matter what. And even though she went to prison and she did the things that she did, I understood now that she was doing the best that she thought to take care of us. And so we have a great relationship. Now, with my dad, it's a little more trickier. I have to, this is another thing, is you have to accept people for who they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because my idea of what a dad is not everybody's idea of what a dad is, right? So from the outside looking in, people will be like, man, your dad is amazing. You guys always had the best bikes. You always had Nintendo, Sega Genesis. You guys always went on vacations. You guys always, you guys go camping. You guys have boats and motorcycles. Like people from the outside looking in, People thought our life was amazing. But to me, I was like, yeah, we got all this shit, but my dad's not there.
Yeah.
You know? And it's kind of been that way because I have a brother and three other sisters. And when my sisters were born, he was there a lot more.
Hmm.
And I didn't realize, to me, I thought that was shitty because I'm like, fuck, how come I didn't get this like treatment?
Yeah.
But in his eyes, I didn't need that because he knew I could take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when he expressed that, I was like, wow, you know what I mean? I see where you're coming from. And that my brothers and sisters needed the extra care, but I didn't because I was a mama's boy and I was intelligent enough to take care of myself. And he was right. You know what I mean? But now I've accepted him for who he is and we can have conversations and I no longer get upset when he does the dumb things that he does. Like he'll come and visit and then he'll just show up and be like, hey, I'm here. And I'm like, motherfucker, like, why didn't you call me like 3 days ago? Now I'm already working. I got these things going. And he's like, well, you know what, man, we'll catch up. And then if I'm not on him, we will never see each other. You know what I mean? And I'm like, God damn it. Here we are. It's like, here I am in my 40s and he's still pulling the same shit. You know what I mean? But I don't even get upset about it anymore. I'm just like, hey, Pops, my bad. We weren't able to make this happen. Maybe we can make it happen another time. You know what I mean? So because I could see him and accept him from who he is, Things are great. Great things are great between us. And I don't hold him accountable for him being him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that, because I feel a little bit like that with my dad too. My father is like almost 80 and he's working still like he's 20 years old. He's gone and moved like 12 hours away from his entire family to go and do work up north. And I see him only at Christmas time. if he comes, or if he comes down, not because he comes back to Toronto because he wants to see us, but because he's got business or something. And if he can fit us in, he does. If he doesn't, oh, well, I'm busy. And that's been hard for me because I feel like growing up, he was always working. Also in the trades, he owned his own business. He was a plumber. He worked out of our home, but he was like upstairs and up
in our never home.
Yeah, yeah. Home, but never there. And now just the thought that he's just left us all completely to go and work in like 12 hours away. And I only get to see him, as I said, maybe once a year. And it's hard. It's hard. But I have to do exactly the same thing that you said, that I have to just accept that that's who he is and that's how he wants to be. And that if he doesn't value time with us as I value time with my family, like I could never do that. Because I value time with my kids and my husband and the family that I have here, that I couldn't do that. But all we can do is control ourselves and the life that we have, and we have no, and everyone else is going to do what they want to do.
Oh, definitely. And it's a hard pill to swallow for us too, you know what I mean? Because we want things to be a certain way. We have this idea in our head, especially when we watch the media and TV, and we think everything could be like amazingly perfect. And I'm grateful for the things that I went through, because now I get it. Now I know that, one, just because I was born into a family doesn't mean that that's my family.
Yep.
And I could go out into the world and create the family that I would like, and they don't have to be blood. And that's something that I've learned from being born in this type of scenario and situation with my dad. You know what I mean? I love him to death, but there's other people that I might value a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Because we just have a better connection and we could communicate back and forth. And I know that my dad, he's going to be fine with my brothers and my sisters. And maybe one day, you know what I mean, when he gets old and shriveled up, he's already halfway there, but you know, he's going to be like, he might think that. And if he doesn't, well, that's not on me to hold him accountable to that, because he's going to have to live with that on his own. And it doesn't make sense for both of us to have to suffer for that, you know?
Yes.
How old are you, Mark?
I've been on this planet for 42 years. Holy shit balls, Batman.
Okay. And then I'm just curious. So you got somebody in your life?
Nope, just me. I'm in the process, right? Remember I told you the whole whole intimacy thing has been scary for me.
Is it hard because of the selection out there, or is it hard because of you?
I think it's hard.
It's not because of you, right? It can't be because of you.
No, I think it has a lot to do with me.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Is that you? But you're at least you're confronting who you are as an individual.
Yes, you know, I attracted a lot of, you know, when you attract what you are, and so in the past I've been burned so many times, but that's what I wanted. I was creating scenarios in the dating situation that either I pushed somebody away so much that they left, and or they did something bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to communicate my feelings over. And the times that I would communicate my feelings over, that's when people would get flaky and run off. So me explaining how I felt for somebody equaled they run.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I created this persona when I was really young that nice guys finish last. Yeah. So I created this douchebag persona. And let me tell you, once I created a douchebag persona, I got anything I wanted all the time. And so I was really horrible to women. And then I started believing in karma. I thought to myself, oh no, I did so much bad shit that when I finally get into a situation that I'm really loving somebody, they're going to pay me back for all the bullshit that I pulled in the past.
What are women in your neck of the woods looking for?
I look in different areas now. Remember, I stay away from the bars. I stay away from the clubs. I stay away from these areas where you're going to attract somebody that's looking for a one-night stand. And I put myself in more areas. And now I'm not saying these areas are even better, because people are people. But now I'm in personal development areas, right? I go to retreats. I go to events halfway across the globe. And I'm able to mingle with like-minded individuals. Now, these pools have their certain things that you have to watch out for, right? But because I'm becoming who I am, I know how to ask better questions.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
because I know what I'm looking for. I know how to navigate a scenario and a situation. I could kind of see it before it's happening of how this is going to go. But I don't like to assume. That's why I said I ask better questions now. And because I know what I want, I'm straight up front and forward in the beginning. This is what I'm looking for. This is what it's like. And this is who I am. And I would like somebody X, Y, Z. And then we have conversations. And I could almost pretty much always tell by how they answer their questions or where they're at in their life.
That's because you're in your 40s, man. Wait until you get into your 50s, buddy. You're going to be able to read thoughts.
You know, I'm working on that right now. You know what I mean? I really believe in spirituality and telepathic abilities and things of that nature. I'm listening to this podcast called The Telepathy Tapes, and it's about autistic people that have these telepathic abilities, and people really didn't know about it until their parents and their family started realizing, like, I think these little fuckers are reading our minds. And then people started to go investigate this shit. It, right? And then, like, the science doesn't lie, but because of the world we're in and it will fuck our paradigm up, mainstream science is trying to push it aside, right. You know?
Right.
And I think that's where we're moving, where we're getting to, where we are right now. Like, we're able to have these conversations online on a podcast. Back in the days, 50 years ago, we would not have been able to have these conversations right now because we would probably be locked up and thrown in an asylum because we're cuckoo.
All right. Is there anything else? There's nothing else for me. I don't want to keep you on the side of the road, man. I don't want you to get in trouble or anything.
It's okay. I'm home. I'm in front of my house now. And oh, okay. I'm good.
All right. Cool. Well, Mark, absolute pleasure having you on the show. I appreciate you opening up so much, man, and sharing so much as well. And wish you all the best, bro.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, man. You know what I mean? This is fun. This is what I'm looking forward to. This is going to be the life of a coach and a speaker internationally. You know what I mean? This is what I'm going to be doing to get me out of my job.
Do you want to share any contact information that you want me to share on the show notes or anything like that? Anybody wants to reach out to you, chat with you, talk to you?
Yeah, definitely. I can send you guys some links, right? Sure. I do have my own. I got my own podcast called Sundays in the Shadows, and that's where we dig deep into the shadows, right? Because a lot of people in the coaching industry make things look like sunshine and rainbows, and it's really not. A lot of the transformation is done in the dark, is done in the shadows, is done crying, is done, and with, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like to bring that to the forefront, you know what I mean? Because people can relate to the deep, to the dirty, to the not so perfect. And when people put shit up there that's so polished, it's like, no wonder why nobody's resonating with you, because you seem so motherfucking perfect, and I know you're not.
Yeah. Nobody is.
Yes, and so I'll share that link with you, and I do got a free course that help people fish themselves out of the fuckery, because nobody's coming to save you, people. You know what I mean? It's up to you to learn how to fish yourself out, and there's so many ways nowadays that you could do this, like this podcast that you're listening to right now, my podcast. There's so many free resources. Yep. You got YouTube, you got TikTok, and you just got to do the work, and the fastest way to do that work, I believe, is getting somebody that can show you how.
Yep.
Yes. You know what I mean? When I was growing up, I was great at playing sports naturally. But when I got a coach, I became phenomenal.
Yes.
Right?
100%. That's how it works.
Like, wow. Like, me and my brother, I was fortunate that I had a brother that we could play with each other all the time. So we know how to play basketball, football, baseball. My mom taught us a lot. But when I got a coach and when I started playing real sports, wow, my game switched, got better that way too. And then, like I said, I didn't go from where I was in 2015 to here all by myself. I invested in myself also. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, investing.
And I got people that were doing what I wanted to do, and they showed me how, and they were able to ask me the tough questions. I couldn't see my label of my bottle from the inside of my bottle. I need somebody on the outside to be able to look and say, hey, this is what your shit says, and it's fucked up. And if you want to do something, this is what you have to do. You have to change the way you behave. You have to change the way you respond, and you have to change some of your basic, right, every single day habits.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're here doing, right? So I'll share that link with you guys also. And if anybody wants to follow me on Instagram, it's mark_my_magnificence on IG, and that's where I'm most active.
Nice. Mark, it's been a pleasure.
Sorry, Mark, that was mark_my magnificence. My magnificent, as in my magnificent. Okay.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah, so anybody says anything to you guys, just tell them, mark my magnificence. You know what I mean? Like, mark my words.
Yes.
You used to tell me that shit all the time. Like, you ain't going to do this. And I'm like, yeah, watch me.
Awesome, Mark. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. You guys have a great day. And
you
I appreciate too. Having you.
Thank
you. You having too. Me. You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So so many good things in there, right?
You're just meeting quite a bunch of interesting individuals.
Yeah.
He's quite the person.
Yeah. And that's what happens, that when we raise our vibration, and that, you know, he talked about this, that we are always emitting a signal. So we're like a radio station that's sending out that I'm at, like, let's say 103.5. That's the signal. And now I am also a magnet for that, which is of that same signal. So, however, let's say in this relationship case that the person that you want is at 99.5, and you're like, oh, I want to be with a woman that's like that, and she has these qualities, and she's honest, and she's giving, and she's affectionate, and all that. But if your signal is at 103.5, and you think that, you know, that's who you want, but you're only going to ever attract that which you are, which is what he said. So you are going to bring in that which is at 103.5 and not of the frequency that you actually want. So you yourself have to show up as the person, as he said, as the person that you want to attract into your life. So if you were looking for someone affectionate and communicative and giving and generous, you have to be that first.
Of course.
And then you end up being a magnet. Like the law of attraction states that it's law. That's how it is. That's why they say, oh, it's karmic, right? Well, karmic in the sense that what you give out, you get back always. So be your true and authentic self. Be the person that you actually want to come into your life. And then naturally, on divine timing, it flows in. It flows in. So you always have to look at what's flowing in. Because if you don't like what's flowing in, guess what? That's what you're putting out there.
I do love that.
It all comes back to yourself.
Yeah, he did hint a little bit at that, where he was talking about his life could have went in a completely different direction.
Yeah,
it did. But it was on him to figure out where to go with it.
Yeah, and those are the people that we surround ourselves with, right? Then when we're trying to make positive changes and they sabotage us by saying, no, you know, you think you're going to do that, but in the end, in a month, you're going to be back here with us. And who do you think you are? You think you're better than us because you're made. This is the stuff that people say,
yeah,
right? That then you're like, yeah, that's true. Who do I think I am trying to change my life? And then there you are drinking with your buddies again and whatnot. So it was like he talked about so many different aspects of our life that I think can prevent us from making those changes and staying committed to those changes.
That was good. Thank you, Teresa.
Thanks, Manny.
That's it. We're out of here. Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at teresagreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.